Anybody know what today is? What's today? The big day in America for the good thing in America, not the bad thing. It seems weird to celebrate it. But it's the opening for most teams of the 2017 football season. Okay, something good. And here's another one you might like. The New England Patriots did open up against the Kansas City Chiefs and to defend their title, and they lost the first game. Praise God. Okay. I thought that that might get us on the right step. So New England's going to be trying to defend their championship. All the other teams in the NFL are going to be trying to get to the next level. The Indianapolis Colts are hoping that their quarterback heals up and some other players and that they can improve and get over 500 and maybe get back into the playoffs. All the other teams, too, are hoping to improve upon last season's performance. But football teams aren't the only ones who are looking to get to the next level. You are looking to improve in some way. Probably some of you, maybe you have a housing project where in some way you're trying to make your house better, maybe look better or more functional. You're replacing things, and we call that a home improvement project. For students, you're trying to get to the next grade level, so you've got to do the homework and pass the tests, or maybe studying for a big test like an ISTEP or ACT or SAT. It's to try to advance and get to the next level. Wherever you are, there's probably some place or some area of your life where you're trying to improve. Maybe it's at work and you're hoping to advance in your career. Maybe you've gone to a conference because you're trying to improve maybe your marriage or your spiritual life or relationships or your career. But what we're trying to do this month is we're talking about how to get to the next level in our faith. So if maybe you're here, if you're not a Christian, not a disciple of Jesus, we want you to know we're glad you're here. And what we're trying to do, we're not trying to hide anything. We are trying to point to Jesus and lift him up so that he can draw people to himself. But even for those people who are not followers of Christ yet, the principles of Scripture can be helpful as we're looking to try to grow, because we all want to grow in some way. We all want to get to a next level in some area of life. And that's what we're focused on. So we're going to start this morning with a riddle. Hopefully you've had your coffee or your brain's working. Here's the riddle. It's not rocket science, so maybe we can get it. 5 frogs are on a log. 4 decide to jump off. How many frogs are left?
5.
1 and 5. 5, yes. 5 are on a log, 4 decide to jump off. 5 are still left because there's a difference between deciding to do something and actually doing it. So that's just a little kind of a brain teaser riddle. But I think we all know there's a difference between intending to do something and actually doing it. There's a gap. A lot of us, it's been some area of health. We maybe bought a treadmill or bought a membership to a gym or the Y, and we intended to use it. We intended to exercise, but there was a intention, and then there's reality, and there's a gap between the two. Maybe it's finances. You intended to have a budget. You went to a Dave Ramsey class. Maybe you planned on saving, planned on giving, planned on doing something different, paying off debts. And there was the plan and the good intentions, and there was reality. Now, we could keep going and going with examples, but I think that we all understand the point that a lot of times with people, there's a gap between our intentions and what we actually do. And a lot of times it's that gap that is the difference between getting to the next level. So we're going to look at 4 verses that Jesus gave us that are really brilliant and that can really speak to us about getting to the next level and going the places where we need to go. You've heard things like the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And we've seen it, lots of examples, even marriages, about half of marriages, they say, end in divorce. And I think almost everyone who gets married, people intend to fulfill their vows, But then one of the partners, or maybe both of the partners, kind of lose track of that and don't. The difference between intentions and what we actually do. Now, maybe you're feeling guilty. Maybe I've touched on a nerve with something that I've said. And I want to say that the point of this is not a guilt trip. The point of this isn't me to try to convict. I don't feel like my role is to convict anybody. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to convict people. So what we're doing is that we're gathered here. I believe you want to grow or you wouldn't be here. And we're trying to spur each other on to grow. Spur each other on toward love and good deeds, as it says in Scripture. So that's the intention. Hopefully it's inspiring and not a guilt producer. Because it's not about shame. It's not about blame. It's about this desire that we have to grow. It's saying that something in the future could be better for us. So Jesus, he observed that people often get caught up in the stresses of day-to-day life. Do you believe that? No. Life is never stressful, is it? But people can get overwhelmed with the bills, providing, worried about food and drink, worried about their clothes, worried about where they're going to live. He said, he acknowledged all that. And talking about that, we worry things like, am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough money at the end of the month to be able to pay all my bills? Am I going to have enough energy after I go to the doctor's appointment and grocery store and then to get to the Bible study or do whatever it is I need to do? Am I going to feel good enough after all that? Will people like me? Another worry we have. If I do this, am I going to alienate people? Will people be upset with me? But we get worried about all kinds of things in day-to-day life, and Jesus acknowledged that it would be like that. And he says this, Matthew 6, 31 through 32. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, some of us are wired to be nervous. Some of us are just wired to be anxious naturally. And all of us get anxious at times. Something's going to get all of us. Even the most calm of persons gets anxious from time to time. And think about when you're anxious. If somebody says to you, don't worry, how does that affect you? Does it help? It's counterproductive, right? Because if you could stop worrying, you would do it. So that don't worry, it's kind of condescending. It's kind of like when a person's angry and someone says, calm down. How's that make you feel? Has anybody in the history of the world ever calmed down when somebody said, hey, calm down, buddy? I don't think so. So it the surface, maybe it seems like Jesus is saying, hey, stop worrying. And it seems like maybe he's scolding. But I don't think he's doing that. There was a time in college when I was driving my car and I hit another car that was parked in a parking lot. Not my best moment. But I had this accident, and it was near a tennis court. And fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure which, the owner of the car saw me hit his car. And so I got out and I looked, and it was scratched up. And he came out and he looked at it, and he was scratched up. And I just felt worry. How much is this going to cost? Is he going to beat me up? You know, all those kind of things. And he looked at his scratch, kind of touched it. He looked at me and saw how anxious I was. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll get some touch-up paint and take care of it. How do you think I felt after he said that? More anxious or less anxious? Less anxious. I think that's more Jesus' tone here. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I know you're worried about these things, but don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Not shame on you. What are you doing worrying? Stop worrying. Calm down. I think it's more that, don't worry about it. I got this. Don't worry. You can trust me. It's more about trust. So maybe remember a time in your life when you had an experience like mine. You were really worried about something in your life, and then somebody came to you, put an arm around you and said, hey, don't worry about it. I got this covered. How'd you feel? I think that's the tone that Jesus is giving here. So let's go in and see what Jesus says next. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, the word but is in there because it's contrasting our typical attitude and tendency to worry and be anxious with what we can do. Because when we get really busy, we move from one thing to the next. It's kind of like a tyranny of the urgent. And Jesus, the but conveys that we can be intentional about our growth. We can be intentional about putting first things first. So Jesus is telling us, first trust. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And then he's saying, and he's telling his disciples, his followers, don't do the day-to-day thing. Don't get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, going from one crisis to the next. But seek first the kingdom of God. Be intentional about what really matters. You don't just put it off. Put off the things that are important but not urgent. Seek first what really matters. Be intentional. So moving on, and that this fourth verse here that Jesus gave us, this is really brilliant. And thinking about how we worry about what's going on. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Isn't that true? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today you have enough trouble to worry about. We're going to break it up. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. A few years ago, for some reason it was on a Sunday. But right after I'd preached at church and we'd done our service, it was a long day. A nurse came over to our house to test me for life insurance. And when I got the results back from this test, my blood pressure was high, which meant my rates were up. I thought, you know, it was a Sunday. It was in December. I hadn't been exercising much or eating well, so my blood pressure would have been unnaturally high. So I told my agent that. He said, no problem. Just go back and get tests, and we'll lower your rates when your blood pressure's normal. So I said, okay. So I had a plan, and I was going to have a few weeks where I was just going to exercise really well and eat better than I usually do and go back and get tested and get my insurance rates lower. But it was December. What do you do in December, right? You get with family. You celebrate by eating, being cozy and comfortable. And then next was January, and January was cold. What do you do when it's cold, right? You eat. That's right. You get comfort. You don't want to exercise much. And then February came, and that year, February was really cold too. So I wasn't really motivated to exercise or eat right. I wanted to eat good food, comfort food. And then March came, and same deal. And then April came, and I was hurt, and I didn't really have time to exercise. And then May came. I was really busy, super busy, so I didn't have time to focus on my health. And then June came, and I traveled for a couple weeks, so you know what happens when you travel, right? And then July came, and August, and still hadn't done anything. I never went back and got my blood pressure checked again. I intended to do it. My intentions were good, but I never did. I keep saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'll do it next month. I'll do it in a better season. I'll do it when I'm feeling better. I'll do it when it's warmer outside. I'll do it when there's not holidays. I'll do it when there's not vacations. I'll do it when it's convenience. And that day never came. Maybe you can relate. Things that you put off. So Jesus was saying, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Even I read the law of diminishing intent is that the longer you wait to do something you should do now, the greater the odds that you will never do it. And I've seen that play out in my life. So Jesus is getting to the heart of what really plagues us with that I'll do it later thing about the really important things in life. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And I recently read that a lot of times people struggling with an addiction, one of the reasons that they're overwhelmed is because they know they can't have enough self-control a month down the road and that they know they're going to fail in the future. And so one of the approaches in counseling is to say you don't have to win a month from now. You have to win the day. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about a month from now. Win today. Do it now. Now is the time, not tomorrow. You got enough problems today. Can you be clean today? Can you make progress today? Can we win today? There was a study of older people who lived to be about 100, and they were asked to give advice to their younger selves if they could travel in a time machine. And the first piece of advice they gave was that they would tell their younger self, find joy and meaning now. Don't put it off. Find meaning now. Live on purpose now. Don't wait. And the second piece of advice they would say, appreciate your family and friends now. Don't wait till a crisis. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait until you're not busy. Do it now. The Apostle Paul talked about urgency in 2 Corinthians 6:2. He says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We can get to the next level, not with good intentions, but with being intentional now. If the Spirit's speaking to you about your life and your faith, it's not about waiting till later. It's about being intentional now. We get to the next level, not with good intentions, but with being intentional now. It starts today, not tomorrow, but now. Now, Jesus, when he was talking about growth, and our growth as disciples, our growth as people, personal growth, he used a lot of times the metaphor of agriculture, seeds, and they take time to grow. And so growth is described as something we need to be patient for, but patiently urgent, because the seed's just continually growing. It needs constant. It needs to be planted. It needs to be put in a good place. It needs to be watered. So growth is, we have to be patient with growth, but we also have to be urgent. Let's be intentional with carrying out the mission to make disciples who make disciples. The word disciple that we use is from a Greek word. It's the New Testament, the thetes. And that Greek word means learner. Jesus was calling people to be learners. The root word means the mental effort needed to think something through. Jesus was calling people to be really serious and really intentional about learning and helping others to learn too. So I want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Christ, we're all called to grow as disciples and to make disciples who make disciples. That's our mission. We want to be pouring out into other people. And a prayer is, Holy Spirit, use me today to help someone grow spiritually. Because our growth is not just about me, myself, and I. It's about others, too. We want to grow so that we can help other people grow. We want to make a legitimate difference in somebody else's life. Now, this is not, I have all the answers, learn from me kind of thing. This is humility. This is, I care about you, and I want to be focused on you. What can I do to help you grow? It's not an arrogant thing. It's not a, I have all the answers when Jesus told us to make disciples. It's a humbling thing because it's not rallied around us. It's rallied around God. It's rallied around Christ. So again, Holy Spirit, use me today to help others grow spiritually. It's a prayer I want to encourage you to be praying this month, is thinking about next level, because really, our better, how can we help others get to the next level? How can we invest in others? If you have children, grandchildren, people that you work with, how can you help those other people get to that next level? That's a prayer that frames it and invites God to use us. Even if you are not a disciple, again, this principle can help with other areas too. Exercise, health, finances. Add to your good intentions with intentionality. When we're intentional about growing is when we can start getting to the next level. But we have to be intentional because good intentions don't do it. Good intentions come short. So the best time to grow is now. Jesus calls us to be disciples who make disciples. And if you're a disciple of Christ, I want to encourage you, just pray that prayer with me. Holy Spirit, go ahead and pray with me. Holy Spirit, use me today to help someone grow spiritually. Because right now you have all that you need to help someone else grow spiritually. It's not going to be tomorrow when you learn more or a month from now. Right now, you have enough, if you're a follower of Christ, to help someone grow spiritually. I believe that God's dream for Meridian is about you, and it's about me, and it's about people who aren't here yet. I believe it's about us being people who are intentional about what matters. It's about us being people who seek first the kingdom of God. It's about us loving our neighbors as ourselves, us loving God with everything, and us being in intentional relationships to help grow disciples who make disciples. I believe it's about helping others grow, reaching our hands out intentionally and seeking other people to help them see that God loves them, they're accepted, to help them see that they belong, to help them see that God can help them grow and they can become a servant leader. Can you imagine how deeply someone might be touched? We can do it with God's help, not because of our good intentions, but because we're intentional about relationships, because we're intentional about making disciples, we're intentional about getting to the next level. God will bless that. As we go, Jesus has called us to go and make disciples. It's true for us in Indianapolis. It's true for people in India and Mexico and Bangladesh and Texas and Florida. And it's true for people in Albuquerque. God has called us to make disciples wherever we go. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, your word is good. We are your idea. You made us. You have good plans for us. But sometimes we lose sight of your good path. Thank you for the grace and love of God that loves us just as we are, but refuses to leave us that way. Thank you for the hope that we have that through Christ we can be forgiven, we can grow better, and we can bless others. Holy Spirit, use me today, use us today, to prayerfully help others grow spiritually. Help us to be intentional about our spiritual growth. Help us to be disciples who learn and love and bless. Help us to be humble. Use us to be part of Jesus' missions to make disciples who make disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.